from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Glad to have you on a Tuesday. Marching straight along. I do want to be remindful to you all. A lot of people say, oh, Dusty, I never get to see you at, you know, downtown Lee Summit. You always say you play golf. Love to see you out. You can see me out. Visit Kansas City, Kansas, Red Friday Sports Betting T-shirt giveaway this Friday afternoon with me. I'll be there. Where? I'll be at Tanner's Bar and Grill at 39th and Rainbow in KCK. Stop by between 3 and 5 is when I'll be there. You can enjoy drink specials and get entered to win a pair of K-State football tickets. You'll want to hurry up and get there because quantities are limited. KCK is always the better bet. Bet in KCK.com. Love me a good drink special on a Friday.
There you go. Friday, 3 to 5. That sounds pretty good.
You know,
Saturday is not the day I'll be at Hy-Vee, but Thursday I'll be at Hy-Vee on 63rd Street from 11 to 1. Mm. And we're going to get you ready for Labor Day. You can buy all your Labor Day goods there. They got charcuterie boards, which are fantastic. Chiefs themed cakes. Who doesn't want a Chiefs themed cake coming up with the game, you know, taking place next Thursday? We have that going on. And Thursday is steak day at Hy-Vee as well. $10. Mm. You get your steak, your veggie, your potato. You're going to eat like a king at Hy-Vee. So join me on Thursday from 11 to 1, 63rd Street out in Shawnee. Come say hello. Hi, how are you? And we'll have some great times at Hy-Vee.
And Saturday I will be at Applebee's. Not doing anything.
Oh, just hanging out at the bar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So you can just show if you want. But yeah, that's it.
Well played, man.
That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got youth soccer all weekend. We got a Labor Day soccer tournament. So 8 o'clock Friday night, prime game time.
I have a question we'll get into in the middle of this 9 o'clock hour that I want to bring up to you guys, because my roommate almost started a civil war with his family last night.
Oh, good.
And it's a funny story. He doesn't know I'm going to talk about it, but I want to bring it up.
That's fine.
Before we do that, Royals in Cleveland tonight again, 5:40. Tonight, the Royals are underdogs. They're plus 130.
Who's pitching for the team from Cleveland?
Gavin Williams.
Do I know him?
Never met him. Michael Lorenzen is pitching for the Royals.
I wish his first name was Kane, and he was Kane Lorenzen.
That would be awesome.
Cool, right?
That'd be sick.
I don't know. I've been thinking about that for a while now. Like, if that dude's name was Kane, how cool would that be?
Raising reach some out. Kane. But no, Royals plus 130 on the money line tonight. Cleveland minus 155. No better way than to just go upset some folks in the wonderful city of Cleveland, Ohio.
Who did you say was pitching for Cleveland?
Gavin Williams.
He's played 10 games. He's 2-6. He's got a 5.13 ERA.
Okay, so tell me why Cleveland's favored then. But seriously, I'm asking. Like, I'm not, you know, an expert when it comes to the setting of the lines, you know? Mm-hmm. But like in that one right there, why is Cleveland favored with a guy who's pitching that has an ERA of 5?
Maybe it's because it's going against Michael Lorenzen.
But he's been really good for the Royals. The Royals are the better team right now.
They're on the road, though.
I understand that, but they were favored both games yesterday, right?
They were.
Didn't you say? Yeah.
They were.
So explain that one to me. Where's Alex?
Well, yesterday they had their ace on the mound in game one, so Reagans is always going to get that nod.
Right.
And then the second game, that guy was a spot start.
Right.
So,
okay.
So was Alex Marsh.
So was Alex Marsh, though,
I think he had more, I guess, time. And also, Vegas was not wrong yesterday.
No, they were not wrong yesterday. Now, so that's why I'm questioning. Yeah.
No, I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you out. I don't know. But if you're confident in that, then take plus 130.
Yeah, I just...
There's a 50% boost on DraftKings today. You could put 50% boost on that 130.
Oh, there is a boost on that one. So yeah. I will say this. Then they know something we don't know.
That's
because,
what I'm
saying. Like, they're really good at setting the line, as we know. So this one's a little concerning to me.
A little sketchy.
You're kind of making that meh face.
A little skeptical.
Okay, so let's talk through this for a quick minute here. What could potentially be, like, do Royals hitters not hit well against this guy? Does this guy dominate Kansas City? You know, like one of them, you know, like you start to look at the splits between the pitcher and the batter. Like, to me, if you're just looking at the generic, like, let's go, let's win this game, all your money should be on the Royals in this one. But it's telling you not. So I'm trying to figure out like what the underlying issue is, if you will, of why the Royals are underdogs in this one.
I don't know.
Not the do factor. I mean, Vegas doesn't play the do factor.
Gavin Williams, 6'6", 250, big boy.
Ooh, okay.
Michael Lorenzen, I mean, his biceps look like Will Levis.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6'3", 217. That'd be my target size.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, Gavin Williams, 47 innings pitched, a 5.13 ERA. He's got a whip of 146.
I mean, that's not good.
52 strikeouts in 47 innings, 19 walks in 47 innings.
It's not great.
Michael Lorenzen, 7-6, 124 innings pitched, 3.48 ERA. I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing something. Yeah. I don't know. But again, Royals and Cleveland tonight. Cleveland in their last 10, 3-7. Royals in their last 10, 7-3. The Royals hold in the league a plus 102 run differential. Cleveland has a plus 71. The Royals are 29 plus better in that category.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Witt Jr. is only hitting 250 off of this guy, so maybe that's why he's the favorite.
Yeah.
I mean,
he got four at bats? He went 1-for-4?
2-for-8.
Okay.
Freddie Freeman is 4-for-7 against the guy. Kyle Isbell is 2-for-6. MJ Melendez is 2-for-7. And Salvi is 1-for-2 against the guy. Like, it's not like those lines, those numbers, like, jump out at you or anything like that.
I think the other thing that we talk about in this Cleveland series, which maybe this is something of note, we talk about how you need to give MJ Melendez flowers for doing good things. We need to give the bullpen flowers for doing good things yesterday. Game one, they were put in a weird situation where their starter was taken out early in the fifth inning. They gave up one earned and four hits in the rest of the game.
Yeah, they did a nice job yesterday. Now, a lot of that had to do with MJ's big play out there, play, you know, but they still got the job done. And you got to take baby steps, right? Like, hey, they did well yesterday. Let's give them that credit. Let's give them that flower that they deserve, because all year they've been the punching bag for this team. When they do something good, you got to credit them for that.
And then in the second game, they went four.
Can't just complain, Dusty. You got to give people credit when they do good things, too.
And in the second game, they went 4-1/3, gave up two earned runs, allowed two hits, and struck out three.
Mm-hmm.
They did their job.
Yeah.
Right? Game one, you got your boy out there to get the save after Bobby Witt Jr. blasts a go-ahead home run.
Right.
Perfect case scenario. Sign me up for that four times a week. Bobby Witt Jr. does something to put the team up in front. Lucas Irsay comes out, closes the door.
You keep calling him my boy. Like, he is. Had something to do with that, right?
Well, you've liked him since they got him.
I know.
I liked the mustache. You like the story of the glove.
Love the story of the glove. Love the fact that he's embracing, you know, being dry and recovering and all that kind of stuff, and sharing that story with his glove every time he's out there on the mat. Like, I do. I like a lot of things about that guy.
Correct. And so yesterday, when I say this, I can't emphasize this enough. It was a perfect day for the Royals. They won two games in a day-night doubleheader. Their bullpen was just fine. They got good contributions from other people in the lineup, like MJ Melendez, who made the play of the day in left field, and that sliding grab, because if he doesn't catch that, I think the entire day is shifted. Instead, it shifted towards the momentum that you would like. There was two on. MacArthur was pitching. There were two outs. Those guys were running on contact. That ball gets down. Could be an inside the park home run. Three runs score because nobody's around MJ, and he's sliding head first. Now, I know he's quick and get up, so potentially a triple, but two runs score. They don't score. The inning's over. The momentum stays in the side of the visiting team. You go into the next game that night. You're riding high with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I said it. You know, I was like, you know, John Madden quote, winning the first game of the doubleheader is important because it makes you that much eager to win the second game, whereas you saw the result. The other thing that made it a perfect game, Minnesota loses, Boston loses. You essentially solidified yourself as of right now with, you know, less than, 35 games left in the season. I know there's 12 left at home. There's, I think, less than 30
games. No, I think
games.
I wanted to say yesterday they played 132, right? Isn't that the number we were talking about earlier?
So there's only 20 games left, or there's only 30 games left.
Let me do the math real quick here. They played
132 and 162 would be 20.
Yeah, so they played 132 games. Yeah, you know, there's 30 games left.
30 games left. Yeah, 30 games left in the season.
Not 20.
No, 30 games left in the season. You've solidified yourself right now as a playoff team that could be a threat to other players. Your lineup 1 through, sometimes 1, but 2 through 6 with Bobby Witt, Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez, all three with 90 RBIs. Pinkley said there was one guy in the 14-15 season that just barely broke 100. You're going to have three guys this year get 100 RBIs. Mm-hmm. You have Paul DeJong that's been a great trade acquisition. It plays great third base. Not only that, Hunter Renfro's on the DL. When he comes back, he can be in that seventh spot. MJ Melendez can be in that eighth spot. All of a sudden, your 2-8 is a good contribution of a lineup that can carry you into the playoffs with the three-headed monster in your rotation. And then your bullpen, if they can continue to kind of figure out ways and know who to use in the right situations, this team is doing everything right now, and they're 6-2 versus Cleveland on the year, 12-1 against the White Sox. They've got five games left against Cleveland. Could be an interesting number.
They could end up going 10-2 against Cleveland and be the new version of the White Sox. And that's why when you're talking about Boston and Minnesota, those teams don't matter. We're winning the division. The only team that matters right now is Cleveland because they have that one game lead. And after tonight, it will be evaporated. And we will be talking about tomorrow morning when we walk in here, the Royals being in first place and Matt Quatrero joining us at 9 o'clock tomorrow, talking about his first place Kansas City Royals. Think about that. Let that sink in for a minute. In July, they were 10 games back. Tomorrow morning, when we talk to Q, they're going to be in first place with the Cleveland Indians. And I know what he's going to say at that point in time, Dusty. Well, we haven't done anything yet. We still got 30 games to go and all that kind of, and that's the right approach to take in all of that. But for us here in Kansas City as fans, we tend to celebrate those things because it doesn't happen often with our baseball team. And it's okay to embrace that. It's okay to love this baseball team and let them into your lives. These guys are not going to break your hearts. And if losing in the postseason you consider breaking your heart, then fine. Break my heart. Shatter it in pieces. Because if this team goes to the playoffs this year, we're going to be talking about something that nobody saw coming.
No doubt about it. That's Bob Fesco. I'm Dusty Likens, Mac Morey as well, executive producer of this show that we call Fesco and Dusty, and it's on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan. Damn, glad to have you on a Tuesday.
Oasis released their concert schedule for next year. Tickets go on sale Saturday morning, 9 a.m. British time, which is like 3 a.m. our time. And I was telling Dusty, I was like, how cool would it be? Like, I'm a band venue kind of guy. Like, I like to see a band in a venue that matters.
Yeah.
Like seeing Oasis in Wembley or seeing Oasis in Dublin. Like, that would be cool, right? That'd be a great trip to take.
Be great to see him in Dublin. That's a joke. That's a joke.
Bob, you can see him in Scotland. You can see him in Manchester, someplace called Cardiff.
I asked you guys a question the other day, and we can bring this up to the text line, 913-586-7965. Would you rather go see World Series Game 1, Royals and Phillies in Kansas City, or would you rather go see your favorite artist perform live?
Well,
current artist right now for before that maybe you're, and again, I know you're not, I'm just saying, maybe it's like you got a Taylor Swift ticket or you got a Game One World Series ticket. Where are you going? If that was like your favorite artist,
a Taylor Swift one, probably.
Like,
I mean, I've not been to a Taylor Swift concert. My kids went, last year. Mm-hmm. I did not go. I kind of regret not going.
Yeah.
Well, but I didn't realize a year ago at the time what was going to happen.
What that was. Yeah. What everything right? is. Like, that makes sense.
I wasn't ever really in on Taylor Swift. It wasn't my thing. And my girls loved it and fine. But after the whole Travis Kelce relation, the whole thing, looking back, that's like a regret. I'm like, damn, I wish I would have gone to see Taylor Swift at that time at Arrowhead Stadium. But I didn't. So, if you said I have a Taylor Swift concert to go to, I would probably do that because I didn't go. And it's like the hypest thing that's going on out there in the world.
Or
today.
Just any. It doesn't necessarily have to be Swift. I'm just saying.
Right. No, I know what you're saying.
The artist that you want to see the most.
Yeah.
Or a playoff game or a Chiefs AFC championship game.
Right. I've been fortunate enough that I've been to those.
Right.
Same. And my favorite band to see is probably Guns N' Roses. I've seen them three times in three different, venues and three locales. So if you were offering me Taylor Swift, I probably would go with Taylor just because I haven't been and I want to see what it's all about.
Yeah, I guess me too. Yeah, because I'm fortunate enough I'm going to see Blink for the third time next month. Sorry, Dusty.
Must be nice.
And I've been to that AFC against the Titans, that first AFC championship game. But yeah, World Series would be close. I don't know. That's really close. But I do want to see Swift in concert, honestly. She's not even one of my favorite artists. Just that show, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be tough if someone's like, hey, I have floor seats to see John Mayer, or you can go to Game 1 of the World Series.
I take the World Series over that one. That's just me. If that's your guy, that's fine,
that's
right?
Where we differ. Like, I would love to go see,
you'd do it.
I'd go see John Mayer on the floor. And sure. then I would try to, you know, eventually be like, well, there'll be, there's another, you know,
yeah.
playoff opportunity eventually.
Right. Seen him live as well. He's very good.
Can't wait to see that man
I
live.
Think for me, like, if the Royals make it back to the World mm-hmm. Series, we're just going to continue to go back to those comparisons of 14 and 15 and what that was like. And for my money, nothing was better than October of 2014. Even in 15 when they won it. Nothing was better than October of 2014 because we were all new at this. It was the first time in our lifetimes that any of our teams did anything worth talking about. Mm-hmm. And the excitement was palpable. People were fired up. People were so ecstatic about what was going on. It was the first time we were winners. It changed the whole perception of the city. Like, so making it back is going to be great, but I just fear like we're going to make it back and nobody's going to let this moment be better than that moment in 14 and 15. Because it was the first.
Right. And apparently sometimes you lose text line discussions, everybody unanimously taking the playoff game over music. So
yeah, well, somebody did say Chris Cornell passed away, so I can't see Soundgarden anymore, so that's why I'm taking the, you know.
That's fair.
It's only a couple on the text line. I bet you if we kind of talked about it more, I bet you there'd be more people that would say, well, maybe not. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Like, if I had a ticket to see Dave Matthews Band at Red Rocks, I'm going there over a playoff game.
You know what? I'm kind of with you on that one.
Like, I don't know when I'll see Dave again.
Yeah.
I saw Dave at
Sandstone.
Yeah.
They're at the festival that I'm going to next month, and we are leaving that day. So that sucks. Won't get to see him.
You never saw Dave?
I've never seen him.
Never saw him?
I want to see him.
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was awesome, man.
Would love to see Dead and Company at the Sphere.
Yeah.
Would go to that
before
I went to the playoffs.
Yeah, that would be 1,000%. Yeah, that's a good one.
That would be wild. Because I think Hugh would skip the playoff game for that.
1,000. That's more work than play.
Hugh, you got the playoff game on Thursday night, but Dead and Company has invited you to sit backstage on the same night for their concert at the Sphere in Vegas. What are you doing? Your thoughts?
Good luck, boys.
Yeah. No, so I think that's a fair question for him tomorrow. I've absolutely remind me to ask that question to him tomorrow just to see what he says, because I think it'll be kind of funny to do that.
We had a discussion about would you rather go to a playoff game or would you rather go see, you know, blah, blah, blah.
So, right.
Yeah. Anyways, we will have.
Have you done Red Rocks for a concert?
No,
no, I have not either. Me Mac, either. Have you?
No. But I was given a really good tip about Red Rocks, which is there's a, I think we brought
the this restaurant. Yeah. You tell me, yeah.
Then you
sneak
can go in the back
in.
Door. You don't stand in line outside of Red Rocks Amphitheater because it's a huge line to get in.
Right.
So you just go make a reservation, bite the bullet, and eat an expensive dinner, and then it's like, well, guess what? We can just walk out the back door. We're into the venue.
Yeah, and everything has a cost. Like I would have loved to have seen Jimmy Buffett at Red Rocks.
Oh,
that would have been sick.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's one that I really, really regret not doing.
And see, that's why I say this. If you go see an artist that you're really into right now, and this came to my head when I went and saw Zach.
Because the Royals are always going to be around,
yeah.
But bands aren't. They die.
Yeah. I mean, I will never see Tom Petty. If I had the opportunity to see Tom Petty before, I mean, that's just what went through my head when I'm seeing Zach Bryan. Like, I'm glad I got to see this concert. Is there a chance that I would go see a concert over a playoff game? And there was a couple of artists that are currently around today where I'm like, yeah, probably would.
Yeah.
Plus, I love playoff games on TV, but I would go to the K to watch as many playoff games again because it was one of the best times I've ever had watching
it. It was tremendous.
Yeah. Speaking of not so good times, today a bunch of cuts will happen in the NFL. Mac, you brought up something in between the break about three receivers could possibly not be on this team that were on a Super Bowl roster last year. That is correct?
Yeah, I mean, we know MVS, not on this team, obviously, anymore. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably struggling to make his current team right now. But then you've got Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. Those were the top three receivers headed into this squad last year on the depth chart. If both of those guys get cut today, which we think is pretty plausible, none of the three top receivers for last year's Super Bowl-winning Kansas City Chiefs team will start this year on the squad. Just
What about
insane.
Rashi Rice?
He wasn't. He was wide receiver 4 going into last year.
Yeah, going into.
Going into last year, our top three receivers are going to be gone. Now, obviously, those ended up being the three bottom receivers of the team. But still, pretty crazy to think about.
I will say this: is that more impressive for Patrick Mahomes or more impressive for Brett Veach?
Mahomes,
Veach.
Explain.
Bob. Well, I think Veach continued to find guys, no matter where he looks, that can be players in this league, right? And not being afraid to move on from players. I think that's to be able to continue to stack a roster like Brett Veach has. I mean, that's hard to do. Any general manager in any sport's probably looking at Brett Veach and going, son of a gun, like, what are you doing, man? Like, how do you hit every single time on your players or have a success rate of well over 90% right now?
Yeah, I think it's also a little bit of an indictment that he let the receiver room get to that place. And it was,
but you let it get to that place because you have Patrick Mahomes.
Which is not a reason to me. That's not a good reason. We can't do that. We can't say, yep, we've got the best quarterback of all time. So you know what? We're going to let him go suffer out there. And you know what? He did what no other quarterback could do ever in history. Now, doesn't matter when. I don't care who it is. Tom Brady, he did that. Yeah, that's more impressive to me.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Because obviously, Patrick Mahomes' talent in his youth is unmatched by anybody in the league. We've seen that for the last, what, 6-7 years?
Mm-hmm.
But also, what was the narrative around Aaron Rodgers his entire career in Green Bay? Well, they didn't support him with any talent.
No receiver. Well, Aaron's not as good as Patrick and Tom.
Which is a subtopic. But again, that was the topic in Green Bay, is that they never gave him enough support to go out there and continue to win. Whenever there is a flaw in the system of the process of the Chiefs, Brett Veach immediately gravitates towards it and says, we're going to fix this first, mm-hmm. and then we can go forward. We've seen it before with the defense, defensive coordinator, the offensive line. It gets revamped. The receiver room last year was abysmal. And then this year, they completely revamped it. Got Hollywood Brown, draft Xavier Worthy. They just went out and re-signed Juju Smith-Schuster. And a lot of people say, well, why would they do that? Well, it's because they need trust. They need guys around Patrick Mahomes, and he was cheap.
Yeah.
Right? And he's one of those guys that's going to be a wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5 in this offense, probably wide receiver 5. Not going to give you a whole lot. Going to give you 290 to 350 yards receiving, a touchdown here or there. And
be reliable.
Right. Catch the damn ball.
Line up on sides.
And it is crazy to think that three wide receivers could possibly not be on a roster that were the three top wide receivers going to a roster the year before. And Patrick Mahomes still won a World Series without him.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to think about, like, how good Patrick Mahomes has been, but also how crazy good Brett Veach has been. And right. I think mm-hmm. both of them being so good has hurt them in a way where you're not going to spend that money on those positions around Patrick Mahomes. And Brett Veach is going to go to Clark and say, hey, I'd like to sign, let's just use Ja'Marr Chase as an example. And you know, Brett Veach will go, hey, we'd like to have the money to sign Ja'Marr Chase. And Clark will look at him and go, you draft so well, go find somebody that's a rookie. Right? Like, so
yeah.
Both of their successes, I think, also kind of work against them at times because Patrick Mahomes is so good. They're like, hey, we don't have to spend money. Patrick's just going to make them better. And he won the Super Bowl last year with who? You know, at wide receiver, and they're looking at that going, well, clearly we don't need to spend there, but let's make his job easier. This is now the point of time where you try to make Patrick's life easier because you're going for that three-peat. That's why they went out and revamped this wide receiver room more than anything. You make Patrick's life easier, you make him happier, but this three-peat thing is real. This is an important thing. Like, they're not going to tell you outward that it's important, but there's no more important thing in the world of the Chiefs right now than getting that three-peat and showing that they are the dominant team in the history of the NFL. They three-peat. Nobody can talk about being a better dynasty than the Chiefs, and they're doing everything they can to give themselves the best opportunity to three-peat and go out there and stick it to the rest of the NFL.
He used his finger to identify where they need to stick that one in case you haven't seen.
When you get a little bit older,
there you go.
Prostate!
Right? Yep.
So, big news from the NFL. This is, I know Mac's going to be excited. Vikings released veteran running back Miles Gaskin.
Gaskin. All righty. Another guy. Another name.
Guy to put as a third string running back.
Another name. Now, give me some AJP Ryan, though, for real. Okay. Quick question. Would you say that they add, maybe you're talking about, you know, adding depth, figuring out this three-peat, making the wide receiver room as sure as it can? We saw the Juju ad. Do you think they add another wide receiver today after these cuts? You know, you see Tim Patrick not make the Denver Broncos roster, you know.
If you can't make the Broncos.
Yeah, he had two really bad injuries, but man, 2 years ago, he was so fun.
And 2 years
really
ago, I was,
So, no, we think we just stick with what we have?
I don't know. I mean, again, if Brett signs a guy, fine. I'm good with it. Like, who am I to criticize? But I kind of look at it like, you're released for a reason. Denver's trying to trade you. Nobody wanted to trade for you, so now they're going to ultimately cut you. Like, do you have anything left in the tank? I don't know the answer to that question. Oh, Ben DiNucci got cut by the Bills.
Is that your boy?
No.
The quarterback?
Yeah.
That's Amade?
DiNucci.
I do think it's interesting that Bleacher Report did a top 12 surprise cuts from teams around the NFL, and they have Kadarius Toney listed as 10th of the surprise cuts. Is there any surprise to anybody if he got cut?
I think outside of Kansas City there is, because that's a name you recognize, just like us with Tim Patrick or Samaje Perine or whatever like that. Like, you know names. We're sports fans. We don't know everybody on every team, but there are names that you know. Kadarius Toney was the 17th overall pick by a New York team, flamed out miserably in New York, came here to Kansas City, helped the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, and then flamed out miserably last year. Everybody who's a football fan probably knows or has heard of Kadarius Toney, so that's why it's a surprise cut. To me, it's a surprise if he makes the team.
Correct. That's where I had it. I'm surprised he makes it. I think it'd be more of a surprise cut if Sky Moore got cut. And I bring this up because only in his third year, not expensive, and it's almost cheaper to keep him than it would be to get rid of him and just kick the tires.
Yeah, it's there's not a lot of money invested in
right.
the guy,
you know? And it's one of those things where, like, keep him on the roster in case, which would always happen in the NFL season. He's somebody that does know the playbook, somebody that can possibly, like, have a little bit of a moment but hasn't had it yet. I wouldn't also be surprised if he was released by the Kansas City Chiefs because of how deep the wide receiver room is, right? We look at the wide receiver room that is for the Kansas City Chiefs. You look at Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Watson, yes!
Mecole Hardman.
So that's six.
Remigio.
Seven.
Cornell Powell.
They're not going to keep anybody else other than those seven, I don't think. So that's like where you have to start to kind of
think about.
Did
you mention Kadarius Toney in that seven?
No.
No, you didn't.
Didn't
right?
mention him or Sky Moore.
Yep. Yeah.
Those were the seven I came up with at the top of my head. If I'm wrong, 913-586-7965, what is your percentage that Sky Moore makes the team?
I think Sky Moore...
Is it 50-50 or less?
No, I think it's a little bit more. I still think because he's a draft pick, he's only in year three, he doesn't cost you any money, you've got some time invested in him. Like, I feel like Sky Moore makes this team. And if he doesn't, I could see him on the practice squad.
Yeah, I could too. I think there's a chance that if Sky makes the team and doesn't show early on that that was the right choice, because I think there are guys in that room right now, Dave Tobe maybe being one of them, saying, you know what, if it's between him and Remigio, I'm in camp Nico. Give me Remigio. And I think there are other guys saying, no, Sky, second round pick, we've seen some stuff. But I think if he doesn't show it in the first few months, makes a mistake, yeah, I think he goes back down. We move up Remigio.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously it'll happen later on today, and we'll see all these cuts start to come out. But, you know, I'd be more surprised if Sky Moore was cut than if Kadarius Toney was cut. But on the national level, I don't think many people know who Sky Moore is, but everybody knows the name Kadarius Toney.
Go ahead.
From the 816, just do we know anything about the guy we traded a seventh for?
Yes, we do. Ian O'Minihue or Charles Rappaport. If you missed that, check out the podcast. And Jay Binkley, who let us know at 10 p.m. last night.
At 10 p.m., Binkley sent a group text to the entire station about this guy.
After he already tweeted about it, which is good. He just loves football. The Arizona Cardinals traded linebacker Cam Thomas to the Chiefs for a seventh-round pick, some added edge help. And of
depth
course,
guy.
Of course, as people would eventually go to, does this mean something for Felix and Duke Uzama?
Of course people are going there. No, it does not. No. It's just a depth rotational guy, right?
That's where we went with that,
yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Why are we giving up on that guy? Like, he had a redshirt season last year. We knew it was going to be a redshirt season going into the year last year. The expectation was kind of laid out before us. He lived up to expectation last year. Now you get an opportunity to see what he can do after having kind of a redshirt year. So I'm excited to see Felix. I think he's going to be a good player for this team. Time will tell, obviously. But just because you sign somebody at a certain position doesn't mean a guy who you think shouldn't be there is going to be cut or something like that.
Well, he only had 3% of pressures against Detroit in week two of the preseason game. Yeah, well, simply not good enough.
And I think Binkley, too, is very happy with this because he said he mocked this guy to the Chiefs 2 years ago in the third round. He's in love with Cam Thomas. We'll talk more to Binkley tomorrow about Cam
Thomas.
No
doubt about it. Is there any surprise cuts outside of the receivers that maybe you guys are keeping
your eye on? Is anybody thinking of any other position, by the way, outside of the receivers?
Offensive line?
I mean, offensive line would be it, probably.
Okay, but is there a surprise cut coming there? I don't think so. Maybe CEH? Maybe?
Yeah, that would be another one.
Maybe would be a surprise cut.
I guess Lucas Niang has been a name that's been brought up because of Wanye Morris and whether he makes the roster.
Yeah.
For tackle depth,
I don't know that would be a surprise cut. Like, you know, I just don't think so. No, I don't think there's any surprise cuts out there right now. Do you guys think so? Do you, Dusty? I don't think so.
The only one that's on my radar is if Sky Moore gets outside of the receiver.
Much,
that's the only one I'm keeping my eye on because a lot of people, again, with your overanalysis of yesterday with Juju Smith-Schuster, is like, what does that mean for? And the first two were Kadarius Toney and Rashee Rice suspension. Mm-hmm. But to me, the target that came up in my mind was, is this, you know, Kadarius Toney was already off the team, in my opinion. Is this the Sky Moore boot?
Right.
You know, is this the, maybe he's the practice squad guy. I don't know. Or is it, hey, we tried, we thought it worked out, it didn't. Arrivederci. Mm-hmm. See you later. Hey, no.
Yeah, here's a guy that just got cut. Allen Robinson by the Giants. However, if you can't make a wide receiver room in New York right now, do you really want him here, right?
I mean, Juju with the Pats, you know, same thing. We're excited about that.
Yeah, but his knee's all messed up. Well, he won't be on that.
But he's a guy that has a relationship with the quarterback that we've seen be reliable here, right? Yeah.
Somebody on the text line says, Hollywood, Rice, Worthy, Hardman, Watson, Juju, and Ross. Sky,
Watson,
Nico,
yes!
and Powell on the practice squad.
Hollywood, Rice, Worthy, Hardman, Watson, Juju, and Ross. Yeah, Ross is not making this team.
No, he's just always a training camp MVP.
Yep.
24-7. Someone asked on the text line, does Carson Steele make the team? Are we serious? Like, that's a serious
thing. He's your number two running back. You're going to see a lot of Carson Steele. He's going to be involved in the offense in a big way this year.
Right.
It's going to be a nice combination with him and Pacheco. Get ready for it. The team's excited about this guy. I can tell you that for a fact.
They have their own thunder and lightning.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. Every running back combination gets that thunder and lightning combination name, right? Like Tiki Barber and Ron Dane were like, I remember having a t-shirt, Tiki Barber and Ron Dane, thunder and lightning.
That's cool.
Tiki Barber was the lightning. Ron Dane really never amounted to much.
No, but he was really good in college.
He was great in college.
Now if you're looking at the depth chart today, Carson Steele's not RB2. Yes, he will be listed as the fullback, but yes, when you're watching Chiefs games, he's going to be the RB2.
Wasn't Mike Allstott the fullback, but also the RB2 in Tampa for all those years?
Yes, he was.
Same size, same physical attributes.
Yep. Right. Bring it back. You know, if there's one thing Andy loves, it's a fullback and an offense. And plus, what's the one thing that the Chiefs really struggled with last year? Third and one, third and two. I got a good damn feeling that Carson Steele can get 2 yards almost every single time he gets the ball.
He's going to destroy people this year. Like, he's not afraid. That's the cool thing. Like, he's going to stick his nose in there. Like, I think by the end of the year, he's going to be a top five fan favorite on this team.
For sure.
Top five, that's tough. Because Mahomes, Kelsey, and Jones are three losses.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, you got, depending on what.
Let me tell you something. A guy with flowing blonde hair hanging out of his helmet wearing number 42, bashing in other defensive players, that guy's taking the cake here in Kansas City. That's a Kansas City type of player right there. That guy doesn't give any bleeps about anybody. He's going to wreck people. He's going to make people swallow their you-know-whats, and he's going to have some fun, and people are going to love him, man.
From a friend or a coach since Little League who says they've known Carson Steele since he was a kid. Says that he is one of the guys first in, first out of the weight room.
First in, first out. Yep.
He won't have any 80-yard touchdown runs, but he has good hip flexibility, and he's better than people think. His vision is great, but most of all, he's a bruiser, and he always falls forward, period. Always, period. He will flat-out terrorize defensive backs who have to try to tackle him once he gets – so he's a downhill runner, first in, first out, bruiser.
Mm-hmm.
His preference is to steamroll anybody in his path.
Right.
Love to hear that. He has a boyish charm. He's a God-fearing young man, has a heart big as his muscles. Back home, he gets every opportunity with the youth football program where he played. He gets swamped by kids wanting autographs and will sign every single one with a grin on his face. Oh, and his nickname is Warhorse. If you've seen the movie, you would understand.
Warhorse is a good nickname.
And our buddy Ossie sent me a text earlier because he does a lot of stuff with the Chiefs in training camp, said he was a crowd favorite. Everybody was gravitating towards him, and it took one preseason game.
It took one preseason game. Like, if you don't think he's going to be a top five player, fan favorite player, I should say, by, I don't know, September 15th, like, he's going to do something on opening night that's going to have the entire Chiefs kingdom going, oh, my God, I love this guy.
Somebody says, did we just talk about this 15 minutes ago? Maybe. But I doubt it. I think we talked about the Royals 15 minutes ago in case you missed it. Congratulations for listening to the show. We love you for being a long-time listener and a long hourly listener. But coming up on the other side, we will wrap up this show, get you excited for the Royals game tonight and all the international cut day, as we've called it here on Fesco and Dusty with Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Moore. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Final segment here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Mac Moore, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. All three damn glad to have you on a Tuesday. Nobody more excited to leave the studio than Bob Fesco on a Tuesday, per reasons.
Yep. Nobody more excited than Bailey Zappe, who's just been released by the Patriots.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so.
All these names rolling in. Insiders jockeying to be the first with the Bailey Zappe news.
Which we've known for months, too.
What a life to lead. I had the Bailey Zappi news first. Who cares? So Bailey Zappi, the latest to be released.
Yeah. So Jalen Milton is the backup behind Drake May.
Yeah, or I guess maybe. You're right. I guess it'll be Drake May, then Joe Milton.
Joe Milton with a cannon of an arm.
Jeez.
I pretty much only wear Mahomes
jerseys. Did they cut Jacoby Brissett, too? Did I miss that?
Well, he's hurt. From the 913, I pretty much only wear a Mahomes jersey, but I'm going to buy a Carson Steele jersey and wear it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I've thought about it.
It's a good one.
It's just kind of fun, but I just want to make sure, like, I don't know, I just feel bad if I bought that, and then, like, 3 years later, it's like, what?
Well, that's the thing. You got to make sure before you spend that kind of money on that investment, right? Like, when you look at jerseys to buy, you're safe to buy a Bobby and a Salvi one, right? Mm-hmm. You're safe to buy a Mahomes and a Kelsey one, probably a Creed Humphrey one, Chris Jones. The list kind of ends, you know? Like, that's a big investment. You got to make sure that's a lifer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost got my brother a Sneed jersey. I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, that's a good thing there. No, we want to wrap this show, though. Royals in action tonight against Cleveland. If they win tonight, you would have won the series, taken 3 of 4 from Cleveland, mm-hmm. and the worst case coming out of Cleveland is you're a game out of the division.
Right.
Best case scenario, you're a game up on Cleveland. And then you get to really get into this gauntlet because what did we say yesterday? Would you be happy going 10-10 in this 20-game set?
Absolutely.
So far you've played how many games, Bob? Five?
You played 3 against the Phillies, 2 against the Cleveland team, yes.
So you've won 3 and you've lost 2.
3-2, yeah.
So in the first quarter of this run of 20, you would have this whole situation. You'd have five games. Mm-hmm. And you're 3-2 in the first quarter.
Yeah, you're good.
Keep going 3-2.
Yep.
I'd love it.
First half, 3-2.
Right. So
no, I guess 20 games, yes. Yeah.
Royals going into Labor Day, which is always a fun part of the season for baseball when you're winning, is always great.
Mm-hmm. Memorial Day is usually not an important day for us on the calendar. So,
But Royals in their last 10, 7-3. Cleveland, their last 10, 3-7. Kansas City at home, 41-28. On the road, 33-30. What do they say to do? Go 2-3 at home and go 50-50 on the road. Mm-hmm. Cleveland at home, 40-23, or at home, 40-23. On the road, they are 35-34. The bullpen was great yesterday. Give their flowers. MJ Melendez was fantastic yesterday. Yep. Would love to see him continuing to ride that hot hand that he has been given, as he's been a great addition since, obviously, everything that's going through all of that sort of thing with his injury that once he's came back from that since June 1st, he's been doing well in this lineup and continuing to show that he wants to be in there every day. And this mm-hmm. is one of those things where it's down to the gritty, man. It's winning time. You got to do it. You got to prove it. And MJ Melendez has proven to everybody that he wants to be in this lineup. Even yesterday, he was going up against the lefty, 2 hits last night in the second game. So, I mean, he's doing what he needs to do to stay on this roster and continue to be a valuable part in this lineup.
You know, you did something earlier and talked about MJ Melendez in the same vein as kind of Mike Moustakas and getting that wake up call of kind of being sent down to the minor leagues and having your world kind of rocked. And sometimes that's what it takes. Like sometimes guys get up to the big leagues and they I've arrived, you know, I don't have to do anything else. Right. I'm here and I'm good to go. And then reality hits you and you don't do so well and you're not putting in the work necessary and you're not doing what it takes to be a successful Major League Baseball player. And for most guys that get up to the big league level, this is the biggest challenge they've ever faced in their entire lives because they can out-athlete everybody. And then they get to the big leagues and they're like, oh, okay, everybody's good. And so they can't out-athlete anymore. So they've got to figure out ways to study, to approach the game differently, to make adjustments. Like it's a full-time job, as we know, and guys just aren't used to doing that work. The guys who embrace that and are able to put in the work and change who they are at the big league level as the league changes to them, those are the guys that have success. The guys that don't, they get sent back down to the minor leagues, and sometimes you never hear from them again, or they go and reinvent themselves and become one of the best left fielders the game has ever seen, right? Mm-hmm. It all depends on how you handle those demotions and that time in the minor leagues. And for MJ Melendez having that injury and bouncing back from that injury, MJ's been really good since then, and you can make the case that you probably have 3 to 5 more losses on the season right now if MJ Melendez is not in this lineup. And I know he was kind of the whipping boy when this season started, but I look at MJ Melendez right now as a big reason why the Royals are having success.
Royals again, Lorenzen tonight versus Gavin Williams. Royals are underdogs. They're plus 130 on the money line.
Somebody did text in earlier an interesting one that said the reason why they believe that the Cleveland team is the favorite right now is because a lot of money's coming in on Cleveland, so they need to reverse it a little bit, you know. So people are kind of playing the do factor, you know, in the gambling world. So a lot of people are loading up on Cleveland, so that now the Royals are the underdog, which in turn may be more of a value bet for you tonight.
Hard to win three in a row as well in baseball, as anybody can tell you that. But I do want to bring up the story. I brought this up earlier to end the show on a fun note, Bob, and maybe you can be on my side and my roommate's side. So my roommate almost starts a civil war last night with his family.
Okay.
Here's why.
Why?
So we know the holiday weekend is upcoming.
Yeah.
We have Monday off.
Right.
A lot of people do. Yes. Not everybody. I'm being fair. Not everybody has it off, but a lot of people do. This is kind of the last hurrah of summer, right?
No doubt.
Okay. Sunday is going to be 85 degrees. Monday is going to be 75 degrees. But Monday is essentially the holiday.
Right.
Does it matter when you celebrate Labor Day, whether it's Sunday or Monday? And if the place that you're going to has a pool that you're going to cook out, wouldn't you audible to Sunday instead of Monday?
Well, I would do it on Sunday because I work on Tuesday morning, and so Monday's a Sunday for me, and that's an off day, so you're asking the wrong person. That when you pivot to Sunday.
But I'm not asking the wrong person, because this is the same mentality that he and I had, because we're, you know, I'm very close to his family. He's very close to mine. Mm-hmm. We've been good friends for about 15, 16 years. And I was like, hey, you know, your dad normally does this stuff at his house with the pool, like all that sort of thing.
I would never schedule an event or a party, that type of stuff, for my purposes, right, on a Monday. That's a holiday. I would always do it on the Saturday or the Sunday.
Right.
Give everybody that Monday to kind of recover, get ready for the week ahead in the fall. Right. Like,
right.
Because as a child, I was taken every year to my mother's friend's sister's house for Labor Day.
Yeah.
And everybody had to bring their own meat and a side dish. Like, it was the worst thing ever. And it would be like 3 o'clock on Labor Day Monday. And where I grew up, school started the next day. So you're going to this horrible Labor Day picnic. You got to bring your own damn meat, and everybody's cooking their meat and playing with their meat and doing all this kind of stuff on grills and whatnot. And it was just a miserable time. I don't like Labor Day. Right. I have major flashbacks to horrible Labor Days. So I try to avoid the holiday. But to address your point, now plan it for Saturday or Sunday if you can.
Right.
Because nobody really wants to do anything on that
Sunday.
Monday
just seemed like the logical day, but they also are a family tradition where they celebrate the holiday on the holiday. Right? So 4th of July is on a Monday. You would think Sunday you would do the big celebration. No. Monday they do the celebration. And again, love this family, love their whatever. I would have been there Monday over Sunday. We were just trying to think logically. Yes, normally you do it on the holiday day, but on Sunday, the weather's better. You get a day of recovery.
Yeah, you get the recovery day. Yeah.
You know, Monday you can just kind of relax. And if somebody else is like, hey, by the way, last minute idea, you can be like, nah, we're going to opt out.
Do you really want to go anywhere in the middle of the day on Monday? Like, you're starting to gear up for the week. The weekend's wound down. You had a great Friday, a great Saturday, a great Sunday.
Yeah.
And here's Monday. It's Labor Day. You kind of just want to putz around a little bit. And look, the fall is busy for everybody, not just us in sports talk radio, but it's busy for everybody. That Monday to me is kind of, I don't want to say a sacred day or anything like that, but that's kind of the recovery day. Get some energy back in you and then get ready to go, because once Tuesday hits, kids got games, kids got activities, the Chiefs are playing, the Royals are pushing for the postseason, college sports are going on, your job is going on, like everything ramps up. So like if somebody invited me and said come over on Monday for Labor Day, I'd be like, not that interested.
Don't forget Friday though. Visit Kansas City, Kansas Red Friday sports betting t-shirt giveaway this Friday afternoon with me, Dusty Likens. I'll be at Tanner's Bar and Grill on 39th and Rainbow in KCK. Stop by between 3 and 5 p.m. to enjoy drink specials and get entered to win a pair of K-State football tickets that we will draw for a winner at 5 p.m. You'll want to hurry because quantities are limited. KCK is always the better bet. Bet in KCK.com. Bob, you'll be somewhere Thursday as well. If you want to come say hi.
Yeah, I'll be out at Hy-Vee in Shawnee on 63rd Street from 11 to 1. Come on out. As Dusty said, say hi. Steak special going on Thursday at Hy-Vee. $10. You get your steak, your veggie, your potato, all that good stuff. And we're going to get geared up for Labor Day weekend, because beginning Friday is their 4-day steak sale as well at Hy-Vee. You don't want to miss that. I promise you that steak sale at Hy-Vee is going to be something you're going to need to take advantage of beginning on Friday.
Do this Monday through Sunday. Go do something nice for somebody, because you never know, it could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. For executive producer Mac Morey, for Bob Fesco, I am Dusty Likens. You've been listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Coming up next, it's Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.